Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
NFL free agency period, it has started. Things are getting crazy, but we want to update y'all on some of the other moves that you might have missed. Getting started with it, how about Jalen Ramsey to the Miami Dolphins? Now you got Xavier Howard on one side. You got Jalen Ramsey on the other side. Danger. To me, that is a bona fide addition for the Miami Dolphins, because now not only do you have the offensive Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa when he's healthy and out there, but now defensively, when you are already ahead, you know teams have to air it out, and I believe that will be the best cornerback duo in all of football, seeing as the Eagles cornerback duo is likely to be ripped apart. So for me, I'm grading this out A+, but I got to bring it to the desk. Guys played a lot of football to get their takes on it. Shady, let me start with you. Jalen Ramsey, Miami Dolphins. How you grading that out, big dog?
A, B, C, D. I'm going to go with an A. I'm going to go to AMF. I'm going to A+.
Yes.
Now, like one thing about the Dolphins, they love to play that man coverage. The Sydney Heat, but man, you got Xavier Howard on one side, and then you got Jalen Ramsey on the other side. I'm going with an A.
Beast. Will Blackman, you played DB a long time. Where are you ranking it?
Yeah, and I know Jalen since he was 16 years old. I told his dad straight up, I said, your son's going first round. He was 16. He said, I said, yes, he is. So I love, this is an A+. I love the fact he's going back to Florida. He's over there at Miami. Xavier Howard on one side. You got the pass rusher, Chubb. You got Brandon Jones coming back.
Yep.
Javon Holland, the safety. A+ for me right here.
Ball too, yep.
I'm also going A. To the point you made at the top, what I love is that.
You said A+, Rick.
Okay. A+.
Is that DC?
What I love is when the structure of a team makes sense on both sides of the ball. Yep. Clearly, they are betting on the offensive explosiveness and being able to shut it down when it becomes a passing game. In the game.
Will, I got to ask you this question, big dog. Where do you rank this cornerback duo in football? I put it at number one because Darius Slay, he might not stay in Philly. James Bradbury, we know he's leaving Philly more likely than not. I'm sorry, big dog. I'm sorry. It's going to get good for you. It's going to get hard for you. I think this is the best cornerback duo in football. People are going to say, Xavier Howard had a bad year. I get that. He was dealing with the lower leg extremity injury the entirety of the year. Jalen Ramsey, his bad years are still your best years, most DBs. Where you put this cornerback duo?
Yeah, this is unquestionably the best duo. Potentially could be NFL history, one of the best duos, just because of the ability. At one point, they were 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
When they took over, Xavier Howard with his ball skills. And Jalen Ramsey is unique. Like, he might not just be corner. He might end up being safety.
Correct.
Star play with Vic Fangio. So this is going to be outstanding. I can't wait to see
that. That was the point I was making. I said Jalen Ramsey has 7 to 8 great years left at defensive back. I didn't say corner. I said defensive back. Yeah. Because with his instincts, with his physicality, with his awareness, you can move him to safety at any point in time, and he will thrive even there at the end of his career.
And I would say $20+ million in LA is going to be a little bit different than Miami. A lot different.
Okay, this was the move that I really loved of all of them. How about defensive tackle Javon Hargrave? 11 sacks as a D tackle going from the Philadelphia Eagles, going all the way to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I had to break out the tape for this one because this was the one piece on defense that the San Francisco 49ers needed more than any other piece. It was that three technique, that player opposite Arik Armstead. That was a piece that they really needed. If we are queued up, I'm going to show y'all really the difference in what the 49ers now have versus what they had. Now, this is a position you got to pay attention to. That's the three technique. That was a position that now Javon Hargrave is going to take over and being there. Watch this as the second play versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Watch what happens to that specific player. He got thrown out the club. No white tees in the club. He got thrown out the club so much that Fred Warner, who ends up making the tackle on this play, that's Fred Warner, he gets hurt on that particular play. I'm not going to blame the D-tackle for Fred Warner's injury, not at all. But when you get tossed out the club like that, linebackers got to find a way to eat even more excessively and aggressively. This was a huge addition, Javon Hargrave, to the San Francisco 49ers. The one area that they lacked, they now made a weakness, a strength. I'm giving that an A. Shady, where you stand on this one?
You ever hear of a F plus? Is that where you from? Do they do that?
I'm gonna stick an F, man.
You gotta make sense of that.
You gotta make sense.
We're gonna miss it, Philadelphia. Oh my God. We're gonna need him.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
Grade, why you stay, baby?
I see what you're doing.
Nah, he's a hell of a player, man. He's a beast. San Fran's gonna love him.
What was he to that defensive line in Philadelphia? You watched all them games.
You know what? I want to say this, to be honest, man. He might not have all the sacks, right? But then again, he's the through technique. I would say he was probably the most dominant lineman that we did have up front. I mean, he caused havoc up there, man. He caused a lot of pressure in the running game and in the passing game. So we definitely going to miss Hargrave, man. We truly are.
Absolute beast. Will Blackman, where you grade that at?
Yeah, this is an A. He had about 11 and a half sacks.
11 of them.
11 sacks.
At the three tech.
This is massive, and I'm sure Bosa's helping him move into the house right now.
As we speak, Bosa.
That's going to be huge. Yeah, this is an outstanding move for the 49ers. Not only that, and they got Steve Wilks at the D coordinator.
Rick, why are you looking at his nose, man? What you doing?
I wish
for?
I had that report card when I was a kid, man.
I didn't, man. Once I got a scholarship, I stopped going to class. Don't do that, kids. Don't do that, kids.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Where are you ranking this?
I'm giving it a B, and I'm being a little sober here simply because it feels like an embarrassment of riches. I'm not questioning Hargrave and the impact or the need for it, but you guys know that when you spend a certain amount of money on one side of the ball, it compromises your ability to upgrade on the other side of the ball. And
point.
The 49ers defense, even with guys getting kicked out of the club, were pretty damn good last year.
Yeah.
And the question is going to be, can their offense carry their weight?
Well, to that point, Mike McGlinchey, their starting right tackle, he just signed a $50 million guaranteed deal with the Denver Broncos. Right. So Slick is hitting the nail on the head there. What the Niners gained defensively, it might cost them retroactively offensively. But speaking about gaining things on offense, we got to cut to this one. Y'all saw what happened with the Bears more than likely. DJ Moore, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, moving to the Chicago Bears, along with so many other different trades and different picks and different aspects of the draft. But really, I'm thinking about the DJ Moore, Justin Fields addition. Justin Fields now gets a receiver that he needs, that he would love to have in DJ Moore. Plus, you got Chase Claypool. Plus, you got Darnell Mooney. I, too, am grading this one at a B+. It's not going to be the A because DJ Moore is not Ja'Marr Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. DJ Moore is not Julio Jones in his prime, but he is a consistent 1,000-yard receiver. LeSean McCoy, you know what it is to play great offense in the National Football League. Where you grading this one out? DJ Moore, Chicago Bears.
I'm going to go with a B, right? But that's just for the market period.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you do better, you do better homework, you do better assignments, it can get up to an A. They have some draft picks if things don't work out with Justin Fields, right, to replace him. And I feel like even with DJ Moore, he's a really, really good wide receiver, and he could potentially be a top five receiver.
Yep.
He could put numbers up. Only thing is, we need Justin Fields. We need to see what he really can do.
True.
Everybody talked about, we need some more help. He needs some more receivers.
Right.
So now you have it. So if he pans out and he is Justin Fields, he can run it and he can throw it, this grade can be an A. But right now, I got to stick with a B.
I like that. Let me get my seat because we're going to have to break
this
one down.
Get your seat, man. Get your seat.
Will, where do you stand? Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, now DJ Moore. Where are you grading this out? Justin Fields gets DJ Moore. How you grade this for the Bears?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with an A simply because, like, they finally got a stud. Like, they got a guy they needed in Chicago. I look at him, you know, he's like 6'2", 210, maybe 215 in that range, like a really strong receiver. And I could see him being able to do similar things like Debo can do in 49ers. So hopefully, like you mentioned, can Justin Fields do his thing? Can they, you know, put the right stuff around him, call in the right plays to give him opportunities? Like, he can be a top 10, top five receiver. But I like this move for Chicago. Shout out to Ryan Poles, my former teammate. Let's go.
Making moves.
I like the move. I'm going to say a B, simply because the question with Justin Fields, not only Justin Fields, can he take advantage of what DJ Moore brings to the table, but their offensive line was horrendous. And if you're telling me that Justin Fields has the ability to make quick decisions to still find DJ Moore, I need to see it before I'm going to believe it. So to your point, Shady, if they make some other moves and they can take advantage of what DJ Moore brings for Justin, then I'm on board. But until they do that, it may be like this shiny object out there, and you can't take advantage of the talent that DJ brings because Justin doesn't have the talent or the time.
So it's not an A. It's not an A because of Justin.
He's a limiting reactor.
It's not an A because of him. Because my thing is, like, overall,
yes,
like, it's an A move to get a piece like that.
Yep.
It always depends on what we do. Like, shoot, we look at Miami. Vic Fangio, he could put Jalen Ramsey in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. But overall,
but
it's
here's
an A to make
this
that move.
This is one thing we haven't talked about. is we looked at the trade with Charlotte, with Carolina, and it was like, oh, they got a lot. That was a number one pick with three quarterbacks at the top. The one question I don't have is, could they have got more? Was there some place as good as this trade? This was a good trade, right?
They beat them. Yeah, they beat them with the trade.
But it's the number one pick.
More pick.
Was it possible that you could have got more?
The thing is, they could have gotten more, but that more would have been an enigma, if
they
you will.
They got more.
That more would have been another first-round pick instead of bingo. Bingo. Like,
thank you.
They got more. Like, they got DJ Moore.
Right.
They didn't necessarily
more
get that first-round pick. And I would rather get more and DJ Moore than get that enigmatic, oh, what might that first-round pick be? But here's what I will say. What I want to see the Chicago Bears do now, go out and draft Bijan Robinson. That running back out of Texas.
Yeah, he's nice.
And I'll break this down for Bears fans, but really the NFL fans at large. The zone read offense, which the Bears do so incredibly well, what it primarily does is it gives the offense one extra blocker on a defender. Not a literal blocker, but as soon as you run that zone read and you are optioning that defensive end or optioning that linebacker, you are taking up an extra player by nature of that option. But now when you have a quarterback like Justin Fields, who is hard to tackle one-on-one, you just gained another defender. When you got a running back like Bijan Robinson out of Texas, who was hard to tackle one-on-one, you just occupied another defender. So by running that zone read, which the Bears do so incredibly well, if you get a running back who can make a man miss and you got a quarterback who can make a man miss, then that Chicago Bears offense could have Bijan Robinson, Justin Fields, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, DJ Moore. Say what you want about this bad offensive line. Shady said this weeks ago and I adhere to it. If you lead the entire National Football League in rushing yards, the O-line can't be that bad.
And
the second thing is, the best thing for a bad O-line is a decisive quarterback. The best way to make the quarterback decisive, get receivers open quickly. I think a lot is going right for the Chicago Bears. Like Will said, shout out to his old teammate, general manager, Ryan Poles.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Jimmy Garoppolo is on his way to Las Vegas, agreeing to a 3-year deal, according to reports. The Raiders released Derek Carr, and now there's a report the Raiders did not see Carr as a culture fit with the team. And they know Jimmy G will be better in that regard. So, let's start with Will. Is Jimmy G an upgrade over Derek Carr?
Jimmy G is not an upgrade over Derek Carr, but it's crazy to hear the culture fit, because when I look at Derek Carr when he was on the Raiders and I look at the culture, I think of Derek Carr, especially like what they have gone through, whatever, the past 5 years. He's been the constant leader, the whole AB stuff, the whole Coach Gruden stuff, anything dealing with the ownership. Like, he has been the consummate true pro and leader
that
kept that entire organization together to even give him a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Despite all the stuff. So I don't think he's a better upgrade, but in terms of a culture fit, of course, it's the Patriot way now. You know, Jimmy G was there. He's familiar with that. But overall, just in terms of like the player, I mean, Derek Carr, I think one of his worst seasons was Jimmy G's best in terms of, you know, yards and touchdowns and stuff like that. And so overall, no, not an upgrade, but in terms of, like, who's a better quarterback, I think it's Derek Carr.
So let me get this clear. You're saying that Derek Carr was the culture.
Yes.
And they're saying he wasn't a culture fit. So
When I hear that, that tells me he had absolute zero support from top down in the organization.
Wow.
That's what I hear when I hear that.
TJ?
Is he an upgrade over Derek Carr? Absolutely. He's an upgrade. Is he a better quarterback? No, he isn't. But he for sure is an upgrade, because Jimmy G understands what McDaniel wants. Mm. That's why he's there. He understands what he wants. There's going to be no gray area. You want this? I know the audibles. I know exactly what you're looking for. I know how you want me to operate this system. And Derek Carr is the better quarterback. But for whatever reason, him and McDaniels, it didn't mesh last year. They had to move on, and it showed you. Jared Stidham comes in, against the 49ers and that defense when everybody was saying you couldn't get an inch and throws for over 300 yards. Mm. That shows me right there, Jimmy G's an upgrade. And he can be an upgrade and not be a better quarterback because that's exactly what this is.
What do you make of the culture question that he didn't fit their culture?
What is your culture? Like, McDaniels, you have not been successful as a head coach.
Nowhere.
This is Bill Belichick's culture that you may be trying to implement, and you can't do that if you haven't accomplished what he accomplished. And so what is the culture? I don't know what the culture is. Getting rid of good players? Because you just got rid of Waller today? What's the culture? Winning creates a culture, not the coach. Winning creates a culture of this is how we're going to do things. If you haven't won and you telling me to do X, Y, and Z, I'm looking at you like I was outspoken as a player. I wish a coach would say something crazy to me and we losing and I don't like the way you're doing things. I'm going to for sure say something back. And all my coaches that's listening to this, they know that for a fact. I'm going to say something. And so
they're like, yeah, TJ, go say something.
What's the culture? What is it?
Yeah.
This is not New England. This is Las Vegas.
But you think he can be an upgrade, but not a better quarterback.
Yeah, Derek Carr has proven that he's a really good quarterback. I don't know what happened last year. Last year was a mulligan. Mm-hmm. But it's an upgrade because Jimmy G understands if there is a culture, what that culture is supposed to look like, and he's going to implement it. He understands that.
Shady, where are you at? Is Jimmy G an upgrade?
No, don't even finish. Jimmy G is not an upgrade. I mean, like, first of all, and to address the culture conversation.
Yes.
What culture? What culture have the Raiders shown you guys, shown us, shown me, shown shown America? What? First of all, they have six new head coaches in a row that Derek Carr had to play under, right? You look at the thing they had with Antonio Brown, right? You get this Pro Bowl, All-Pro, All-Decade wide receiver. You can't keep him. Forever happened. I don't know what happened. He said this. They said this. It didn't work out. Move forward. Gruden. I think Gruden's a hell of a coach. They had all that situation, right? He leaves. Where's the culture part? Then you get McDaniels. Like, he's some great coach. What's he ever did? If he's not under Bill Belichick with the Patriots and Tom Brady's not there, Bill's going to lose. McDaniels going to lose. So since he's been a head coach, even with the Broncos, he didn't do nothing spectacular. He wasn't winning no games. So when they say culture, where's the culture at? So then you go out there and get Jimmy G. Cool. Oh, wait, before I get down with the culture. Derek Carr is the reason why your best player, Davante Adams, is even there. Then you tell Derek Carr to go home. So I say, hold on. I'm here. I'm the best wide receiver in the game. I came to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr. That was the selling point. Now he's gone. Culture. Yeah. That culture to you?
Well, your boys never had you.
I just don't believe in lying. I don't know if it's culture or lying. I don't know what it is, but that's dysfunctional in my culture. That's called dysfunctional. Okay, let's move forward. Jimmy G. You bring Jimmy G there. Right? They're going to tell you this. Hey, listen, he's culture. He wins games. He goes to the playoffs, wins the championships. Let's talk about that for a second. Because you said it's an upgrade. In the 49ers, playoff games, right? They've averaged 190 yards rushing. That's really, really good, Niners.
That's great.
That's great. The quarterback has averaged 100 passing yards. 100. Are you kidding me?
You know what it is,
40 Shane. Carries a game.
They're running the ball so well.
Compared to 15 passes a game. That means that Jimmy G, they're running the ball extremely well, and they're playing great defense.
Yeah.
If I said they're a better team now with Jimmy G and not with Derek Carr, like, how can it be when Derek Carr's a better quarterback? He actually throws the ball. Not just a sweep to Deebo Samuels and get the ball to Christian McCaffrey and let the defense go out there and win the game. Or the head coach. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan was a great coordinator. Like, he could put anybody in there. A rookie did the same thing. I'm lying. The rookie did a better job than Jimmy G.
Because there was a great culture there.
Not even culture. Just great culture.
Right.
Great culture, right. But also great defense. Hell of a coach. So you say culture.
Right.
You go on to the Raiders, that defense, you have to go out there and win some games, Jimmy G, and I don't think he can do it.
I can relate to Derek Carr because I've been invited to things, but people wanted my wife there for the event. So it was just a way to get me there. You got Derek Carr and you get Davante Adams. Derek, thanks. Appreciate you, man. Well, we can move on.
Well, Davante stays.
This, to me, is why we have the confusion over what the culture means and why they said culture.
Okay.
because they don't really have any other explanation as to why they would trade out Derek Carr for Jimmy G. They're essentially the same player, quarterback-wise. I don't see it I don't see it as being a significant upgrade. I mean, if you look at their numbers.
Look at their numbers.
Completion percentage, passing yardage, passer rating. Like, you take away the records of the two teams, and I dare say that the 49ers have been for the last few years, or since Jimmy G's a better team than the Raiders have been with Derek Carr.
And Derek Carr will have more passing yards because they're behind. They're throwing the ball a little more than the 49ers who's winning, so.
And he's playing a full season.
Yeah. So, to me, the reason is we don't have an explanation for why we're changing out other than clearly the relationship between Josh
McDaniels
and Derek had hit a bump in the road where they were like, we need to change things for change's sake. Sometimes teams do that with the Raiders. But the idea that Derek Carr, as the leader that he was, as the guy that he was, that you're now, to me, that's an indictment of the Raiders.
You don't think that 49er game, to me, that was when they said, oh, this is it. When Stidham can come and throw for over 300 yards against that defense, that right there gave Josh McDaniels the idea, this is it. We can't deal with this anymore. And it's something that's going on. It was something.
Fair. But
Stidham was in New England with him, too.
Can we flip it to the other side? The 49ers, all their success.
Before we do, real quick, I think, in football, the reason why the second contract is always the easiest to get is because the team, right, that they probably draft you,
yeah,
and they see you every day. I see you on your worst day, your best day.
Yep.
I see you in the locker room. I see you at practice,
functions,
at games.
Events,
I
say they know you.
So they know you. So the second contract with your same team is easiest to get. Why is it that the 49ers, with all the success they had, going to championships, going to Super Bowl, going to all these playoff games, all these wins they got, and they couldn't wait to give it to Jimmy G. Yeah, look. Take all these first-round draft picks, please, please. We got to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he's so good to the culture, so good, why do they do that?
Yeah.
I've got questions.
Nope.
They're trying to get over the hump.
So what I was just about to say when you interrupted me,
sorry,
you just said it. That's it. Like, for all the success that they had with Jimmy G, why would they not want to keep Jimmy G? And the other side of it is, so Jimmy G's going to the Raiders. But he will not have one of their top veteran weapons in Darren Waller.
Oh, Darren Italy's
right?
Yeah, today.
So, Las Vegas has traded Pro Bowler Darren Waller to the Giants for a third-round pick. With that in mind, and maybe it doesn't change or it does, but where will do you put the Raiders in the AFC West now without Darren Waller?
Oh, right now, they're last. They're last. Because with Waller, I saw them at least like just having more options and being more competitive because in that system, the tight ends, it's a tight end-friendly system. But right now, I see them last because obviously Kansas City, they are who they are. I'm never, ever, ever, ever betting against Mahomes, period, Andy Reid. And then number two, I mean, I could see Brett, I love the fact that Denver hired Sean Payton. I believe, speaking of culture, he knows how to build a culture, a winning culture. He's going to demand a lot out of everyone there. And then the Chargers, they're always like, I'm just not sure. I just don't trust them. But getting Kellen Moore, what he has done with that Cowboys offense.
Great addition.
I can see them just, I mean, he got hired within, as soon as he got fired, he got hired immediately. I can see them being super explosive. In the Raiders, again, people just don't trust Josh McDaniels. Don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what the culture is. We don't know what his culture is. You can't bring the Patriot way everywhere because every time someone tried to bring the Patriot way to their team, it did not work.
Tom Brady's not there. Yeah.
TJ, where you at?
If we're in the penthouse, the Raiders in the basement. They're in the basement.
No basement in Cali. In Vegas, never mind.
They actually do have some basements out here.
Anaheim. You,
yeah. But the Raiders, they are fighting uphill. He already spoke of you got Mahomes and Andy Reid. The Chargers, to me, are the second best team in this. Like, Kellen Moore can call plays.
Yes, he can.
And Herbert
yes,
is the. The Chargers are going to be so much better this year. And Sean Payton is proven. Sean Payton lost Drew Brees and was still winning. And so, by default, I mean, the Raiders, they looking up at everybody like, we just trying to get there. You're giving away good players in Waller. You have, right now, at least on paper, the worst quarterback in the league, probably the worst head coach, or not in the league, in the division, the worst head coach in the division. Mm. Where do you go? You're in the basement.
Yeah.
Shady?
Yeah, I'm behind these two. No, I think they're last for all them different reasons. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tic-tac-toe plus one because the Chiefs got better, right? They're improving their offensive line. They're certainly not going to get worse.
Are they really improving, though? Orlando Brown is...
All right.
They're going to make it happen. Yeah. They won. You going to something. They won. Keep on the ooze, too.
They won with punt returners.
Chiefs aren't going to be worse, right? And they're the class of the division. Class of the conference, to be honest with you.
League.
Yeah, class of the league. Chargers got Kellen Moore. You fully expect that they are going to be better. Denver Broncos get Sean Payton. Certainly expect them to be better. What do I have to hang on that Jimmy G going to the Raiders is going to make them better?
That culture.
But speaking of that, so you guys mentioned it, the importing or exporting the Patriots way and why it hasn't worked, and yet we continue to see teams try to import it.
I don't believe in that Patriots way. What's the Patriots way?
Tom Brady.
Because when Tom leave, Bill's not the same. Bill don't be winning games without Tom Brady. You know his record without Tom Brady? That's a whole other topic. Under 500. Yeah, struggling.
We agree with that.
When Tom is there, everybody wins. If he ain't there.
You with that?
We got to go to break, right?
I'm with it. Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
That's the truth. I'm with that.
It's Tommy's way.
Will only gives you as much as he's been told to give you.
No, I don't give it. I'm like, look, I'm not taking that bait. I'm not taking that bait.
Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander is your only place for the World Baseball Classic coverage. Hi, I'm Ben Verlander, host of Flippin' Bats.
And I'm Alex Curry, co-host of Flippin' Bats. From Taiwan to Phoenix and Miami, we'll be providing you daily updates on all the action taking place in this year's WBC.
So wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to like and subscribe us at Flippin' Bats.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has his way. If he has his way, the Jets will be rewarded with the future Hall of Famer. Rodgers said in breaking news earlier today that his intention was to play for the Jets. That would mean an end to his 18-year career. Y'all have to hear this. Aaron Rodgers said, it's debatable if I'm the greatest Packer of all time. It's debatable.
Right.
He said, what you can't debate is that I am the longest tenured Packer ever. He was talking that talk today,
yes,
y'all.
Yes, he was.
He was talking that talk. He had been waiting. Slick, we've all asked ourselves this question. Rightfully so. What should Aaron Rodgers do? Even at home, I'm sure you've asked yourself that. It might matter for your fantasy team. It might matter for your friend conversations. We've also asked ourselves, man, what in the world should the Jets do? Do they want Rodgers? Do they not? But what we haven't asked ourselves, what should the Packers do? So that's what I want to ask you, because that's actually the most important question that nobody's talking about. The team that dictates what happens is the Packers. Slick, what should they do?
Prior to today, I would have said the Packers should find the best situation for both them and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That they should find some middle ground, find a place that fits for Aaron, do him right, but try to get as much as they can for this former MVP. But now?
What now?
After he's killed us, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and I'm finding the most I can get for him. I'm opening up the doors. I'm saying, Jets, if you can give us what we want, if you can give us the compensation we want, then we're all good.
Mm-hmm.
But Raiders, are you still interested? Who else is interested in Aaron Rodgers? Because we don't owe you anything at this point, because you basically kicked us to the curb and said, I've been trying to get them to change the way they deal with veteran players forever. Aaron, you signed a max extension with them when you had an opportunity to dip if you didn't like the way they did business. You decided to stay. To your point from the previous segment, that idea about she keeps telling you, I don't know, I want to go, I don't know if I still love you, etc. And then she says, you know, if you put a ring on it, we're good. Oof. They put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. And then he still went to, you know, I think I might be done. They couldn't count on Aaron Rodgers. And he is disappointed that they didn't know what to do exactly with him not being certain what he wanted to do. So, look, I can separate my appreciation and my admiration for Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback.
You can?
I can. I love watching Aaron Rodgers play football.
You do?
I do.
But, why do you seem so shocked?
But all this other stuff, and let me be clear.
I've been here for a week hanging out with Rick.
What have you learned, Will?
Yeah. By the way, Rick and I are great friends. We had a podcast together.
Tell us later.
Just get to the hate part.
I've been hearing the hate part. Go ahead.
I want to be clear on the immunization thing. It's not a political thing for me. It's a matter of if you tell me one thing, whether you're vaccinated or you're not vaccinated, I'm going to believe you at your word. When you tell me you're immunized, what am I going to take from that? So once you've said that, it's not like I don't believe anything he says, but now I'm going to listen very carefully to everything he said because you've told me I have to measure your words.
True. Will, you played with Aaron Rodgers. He was drafted in 2005. You were drafted in 2006, if my memory serves me correctly. So you know the Packers well. You were drafted to Green Bay. What should the Packers do?
At the end of the day, in the history of ball, the organization is always going to do what's best for the organization.
True.
And no matter, we all been cut, traded, whatever, released, whatever it was, that team is going to be there. Period. Packers were established in what, 1919, 1920? They're going to be there at the end of the day. So that's what's going to happen. I believe the Packers should definitely move on and just, you know, find the best deal for them, mm-hmm. which is what they should, mm-hmm. and then move on to Jordan Love and start that going.
I think the Packers should only and exclusively think about themselves, point blank, period. Aaron Rodgers went out there and tried to paint the Packers as villains. I don't know a villain that pays you 3 years fully guaranteed, roughly $150 million. Let me know where those villains is at so I can befriend those villains. The Packers need to do what they want to do without thinking about Aaron Rodgers, the New York Jets, or any one of the other 31 organizations. Packers need to do Aaron Rodgers like they did Brett Favre. Will, put me onto this game. Remember 2008, August, the Packers traded Brett Favre to the New York Jets. Got to ask yourself, why'd they trade him to the Jets? Brett Favre, as Will's reminded me, he wanted to go to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Packers weren't going to trade him to the Vikings. Not only that, they traded him in August. August, right before the season starts. Y'all think y'all going to get a future Hall of Fame quarterback with offseason, with mini camp, with training camp, with OTAs? Nah. You going to get him right before the season, and y'all figure it out. If I'm the Packers, if I do trade Aaron Rodgers, I might trade him during the draft. Y'all not going to have time to plan. Aaron, you're not going to know where you live until April 27th. And Jets, you're not going to know what receivers you're going to have around them. I might trade them during the draft.
It might not be the Jets.
And it might not even be the Jets. Because if the Packers are going to be made out to be a villain, then be a villain. We're going to show you a villain. Shady, I don't know if your parents did this. My parents did this to me. They might be mad when I say this. When I used to cry as a kid, so you want to cry, we'll give you a reason to cry. You know what I'm saying?
I heard that.
Oh, you want to cry?
That's my dad. Yeah.
Oh, we going to give you a reason to cry.
Was that a spanking? Oh, that was spanking for me.
You want to be a villain? You want to call us a villain? Oh, we going to show you a villain now. So that's what the Packers should do in my mind. Where you at, 2-5?
I don't like all the hostility. I don't like all the – it's like you're being real negative today.
I was going to say
– what's today? What's today? Wednesday? Bad Wednesday? Bad Wednesday? Like, what's up with y'all? I'm going to take it more I'm being more optimistic about
it. Okay, break it down, 2-5. Break it down.
I think that Aaron Rodgers has done a lot for the Packers, right? And it doesn't matter how we feel about it. He does. He has a lot of great things for the organization. And I think that on the flip side, the Packers organization has done a lot for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, sir.
And they've been this relationship together, right? It was a hard decision to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. But then you draft the guy in the first round, and it's been successful. He brought you a championship. He brought MVPs. He brought attention to your franchise. He sold tickets. Mm-hmm. So we can't forget about that. Why is it that these two franchises, or the franchise and Aaron Rodgers, why they can't work out together where they trade him somewhere like the mm-hmm. Jets, somewhere he wants to be, and on the flip side, they get a nice draft pick. They might get a nice player. Mm-hmm. Why they gotta trade him at the draft? Or they gotta trade him you know, in August. Why? Why?
I don't see it being malicious. I see them trying to make it a civil situation. That's why when you're saying painting them to be the villain, he's just saying, like, what it is.
Because this is my point. Y'all have y'all quarterback. Y'all got your first-round quarterback that y'all picked, that y'all thought was going to replace me, that y'all thought would be the franchise. I'll give the keys to him for the franchise. Y'all thought y'all had that. So if you have that, then cool. Trade me for a nice draft pick or a nice player, right? Don't go over the top. He's every other year he's thinking about or contemplating retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to play for another 4 or 5 years.
Which he should at this point in his career.
Whatever it is. 4 or 5 years, he'll play for 2 more years, if that, the max. Give me a good deal and let's get the trade off.
Here's my thought, though, come Will on, now. And Slick. My thought is this. Regardless of what you trade Aaron Rodgers for, you are not getting equal value. More likely than not.
Absolutely.
You trade him for a second-round pick, you know, hopefully that second-round pick will materialize into maybe a 2 or 3-time Pro Bowler. But you're
that's
not.
That's the point right here.
But you're just not trying to move on.
The future MVP.
But here's my thought. And, Will, you know this. You played 12 years. You played 12 years, Slick. You've covered it for a long time. Y'all know this. NFL organizations, it's not a video game. They're run by real people mm-hmm. with real emotions mm-hmm. that are really vengeful.
Real spirits.
Real spiteful.
Yeah.
That have real sure. experience.
Sure.
So for us to just assume that Aaron Rodgers could come out here and air out the Packers' laundry, if you will, and we don't think that these men,
yeah.
powerful, egotistical men, yeah, aren't going to be like, oh, okay, we'll show you some. I just think that's ignorance, Slick.
Not only that, but it gives you insight into what's been going on for years.
For
now.
Years.
Between them. And I'm not defending how the Packers have handled this. When you're going to a girls' basketball game and you're talking about the business of where you are.
Terrible.
You're talking about Aaron Rodgers in the past tense. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they fumbled that.
Right. He was a great player here.
Yeah.
But the idea that Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about the negativity on the show. Aaron Rodgers started the negativity today. Now, he tried to put a happy face on it by talking about how much he loved the fans and he loved Green Bay. But meanwhile, he was sticking it to the Green Bay Packers.
He loves being a he loved being a Packer. He loved the city. At the end of the day, it's business.
Sure.
That's pretty.
But, Will, if it's business. If it's business, then keep it business. Because
I thought he did.
Here's why I don't think he did.
I'm saying when he's speaking out there, it wasn't so much him bashing the fans or the people. Yes, he's going to express his love for the organization and the people, but he was keeping it on. I think he's keeping
but
it on.
But he bashed.
He was.
Business.
But sometimes, well, you
but
know what it is.
What was the bash?
You can't. Sometimes. Don't if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. That's a first grade principle.
But hold on.
See, this is a problem though, because you're saying that, but it's all these stories and rumors
right.
being created. So now I have a chance to address everything. And then don't forget this: when Brett Favre left Green Bay
yes, sir.
And he's retired, they begged him to come back for years, and he wouldn't. It took some time for him to come back there and
sure.
walk on the field and all that, and embrace the fans. So you don't want to go from. Brett Favre's having that issue.
It's too late for
so now,
that.
But hold on now, Aaron Rodgers, he don't want to come back. Why wouldn't you? That's like having, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan forever, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's like Brian Dawkins. Like, we beg him to come back, and he won't come back. That doesn't hurt just him. That hurts the whole organization,
understood.
The fan base. So you don't want to go through that thing again. Listen, give Aaron the respect that he deserves. And Aaron, give him the respect he deserves. Send him off to a solid team, and let's get it moving.
Did
you have your backup?
What's the biggest sign of respect in the National Football League?
Money.
I wanted him to answer. I wanted him.
Sorry.
I wanted him. Because he knows.
Yeah.
The biggest sign of respect in the National Football League is money. They gave him more money than any player last year guaranteed
Wait, hold on for a second. He deserved that money, right?
Yeah, he earned it.
He came from a back-to-back MVP.
Back-to-back, 2 times.
What you going to pay me? $10 million? No. So don't throw that money at me. You did him a favor. You owe me this because of what I did.
Then if that's the case,
yeah.
then everybody got to keep it, just keep it a buck. Meaning this.
Well, look.
We had to draft Jordan Love because you 36. We don't know how much you got left.
No, they drafted Jordan Love because they got a new general manager and he wanted his guy because that's how the history of football works. Ron Wolf, who was his guy? Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Thompson, who was his guy?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Brian Gutekunst, who was his guy? Jordan Love. So Aaron knew, like, okay, we got a new GM. We all addition it. It's going to change. He's going to flip the script. And so when they drafted Jordan Love, first thing he did, he said, I poured 4 fingers of tequila.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said?
He said, I poured tequila. And I thought about it, and he went off that year and the next year. So once the new GM came, and plus, too, they were getting not re-signing Jordy,
not bringing back James Jones.
James Jones.
All his dudes, Randall Cobb left. All his dudes left. So this already, to your point, the history has been there. But that's how it is. When a new GM comes, he is getting his dudes.
And you know that, Acho, of course.
So, understood. So if you know that, right? Okay. And just to be clear, like, I'm all for as much player empowerment as there can be in the NFL, because you guys work at a disadvantage.
Yes, we do.
Having covered the NBA, you guys don't have the same, nearly the same juice.
Thank you, brother.
Right?
Thank you.
Without question.
At all.
But as it stands, he knows the situation. You know the situation. You pour those four fingers because you know what you're up against. That's the reality of it. So if you sign up with them again, you're doing it with eyes wide open. Not like, they turned on me, or they went in a different direction, or they got rid of my guys. You know that a new GM is in there. All of that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to take the money and stay, then you can't get mad when things aren't necessarily going the way you want them to go because they're not investing at you at age 37, 38, 39.
He was probably mad when it happened, and just for him, he took it on as a challenge.
Here is, I'm going to end it like this. Slick, one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite quotes, Taken. And in Taken, there was a lot of drama going on. Liam Neeson, he plays the main character. And he finally corners.
Good luck.
I love it. He finally corners the main villain in the movie. Okay. And the main villain who he cornered is about to die now. And the main villain was like, hey, it wasn't personal. It was just business.
Oh, man, yeah.
And Liam responds and he says, well, it was personal to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the Rodgers-Packers situation. Mm-hmm. They drafted Jordan Love. It wasn't personal. It was business. But clearly for Aaron Rodgers, it was personal to him.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This truly would have been some of the biggest news of the offseason, if not for the Aaron Rodgers news, but we got to get to it anyway. Star running back, Ezekiel Elliott, literally star running back, has a star on his helmet, plays for the Dallas Cowboys, officially released after 7 seasons with the team. 2-time league-leading rusher. Got to bring us on camera. Shady, you know just how hard it is to be a 2-time league-leading rusher. You know how hard it is to be a league-leading rusher. You lead the Philadelphia Eagles all-time in rushing yards, over 10,000 yards of your own right. So viewers at home, you're in the presence of excellence, as I am as well. Shady, break this down, because your opinion is truly the most valuable on television today. Does Zeke have any mileage left? For those at home that want to acquire Zeke for their team, for the Cowboys that might be sad they let him go, does he have any mileage left?
I'm going to say yes. I think he has a lot of, well, he has some fuel left, right? He might not have the old Zeke fuel. But yeah, something. You know, on them cars, see, now that I'm on TV now, I drive more. Mm-hmm. Like, normally, people would drive me around, my homeboys, my friends. But now I'm on TV, I drive myself. And I always run out of gas, right? So you would say I'm on empty, but then this little meter comes up. It's called reserve fuel.
Yep.
So yeah, I think he has enough reserve fuel where you might go to a team where they might have a solid running game, but they might need a power back. They might need a guy for 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2s on the goal line. Zeke can do that. Now, this year he would have had $11 million, I think, was his salary. And you can't have him making $11 million from the production he gave this year, mm-hmm. the last couple of years. And then Tony Pollard did franchise tagged him at $10 million. So he's gonna be the star going forward. I just think that, man, like, people want to bash him for how he's been playing, but a lot of it is the team. See, as a running back, when you want your running back to have 300 carries,
yep.
it adds up.
Yep.
You beat him up. So now he has nothing really left. But if you're a team that needs a power back, I think Zeke is the guy, because he still can do that.
Let me try to paint the whole picture of Ezekiel Elliott. I think he has...
Oh, wait, real quick. And by the way, when I was 28 years old, I had 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns. Now, Zeke ain't that. Zeke can't do that. No, I was messing with you. I like to throw my stats in there. Any chance I get.
You should have started talking. You waited too long.
I just started. But like, hold on, at 28 years old, what did I do 20 years
you
old?
You were still doing it. Let me paint the whole picture of Ezekiel Elliott, because some people try to have it skewed. I'm going to paint the picture, and you all can decide if he has any mileage left. Since Zeke got into the league, he has 2,100 carries. The next most, 2,100 touches. The next most, 1,800 in Derrick Henry. So Zeke has 309 more touches than the second leading toucher of the football in the National Football League. What the Cowboys do, they get everything out of their running backs. We've seen it before with DeMarco Murray, who I had to go up against. Does Zeke have any mileage left? Y'all got to remember, Zeke has not scored a touchdown outside of the red zone since 2019. He has 1,100 touches since 2019 and has not scored a touchdown outside of the red zone since 2019. Does Zeke have any miles left? Zeke scored 12 touchdowns last year. 8 of them were 2 yards or less. 10 of them were 6 yards or less. His longest touchdown last year was 14 yards. Does Zeke have any mileage left? Every single year since he's been in the league, his yards per game have declined, starting his rookie year at 108, leading the league, to last year at 58. So I do believe that Zeke has, like Shady said, that reserve gas left. The biggest problem, and I'll end it like this. Zeke has a first team name with second team game.
Mm.
And that's truly the problem. When you got first team names like Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield, Cam Newton, when you got first team names, you got to have first team game. And I think Zeke has a first team name, Will Blackman, with second team game.
Y'all say, what, because it rhymed?
Because it was a bar.
It was a bar?
It was a bar.
It was.
And it's kind of true.
Yeah, well, that too.
I know, but y'all, anyhow.
Can they? Okay, can I get support?
We'll you at some point, too.
Thank you.
Just got to bring it.
Say something. You know, say a bar. Say a bar, and you're going to get
something for me.
I'm saying that was
the Florida hate.
No, a little bit of jealousy.
Anyhow, it was a little bit of jealousy. I want to say that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, does Zeke have any mileage left? He doesn't have the 4.5, 4.7 miles
per carry. Yep.
But I believe being at 27, having the experience of being the whole offense for years in Dallas, I think he does add value to a team. Now, I will take into consideration that he did play with the grade 3 PCL tear 2 years ago. And the last year, he played with an MCL tear. So, obviously, dealing with those knees and playing through those injuries, a grade 3 is like vicious. Like, that's required surgery pretty much. For him to do that, that definitely beat his body up. But I think, like you mentioned, third down is key. Obviously, his pass protection is, you know, that's really good too. He does have really good hands out the backfield. And 12 TDs, I don't care if they were – they're 12 TDs. You know, I'm a big – I watch soccer. Ronaldo, all his points, they're all chippings. He just finds a way to get to the box and he kicks it in. It's a goal. So I think he does add value to, I would say, an experienced team, a veteran team, a team that's ready to compete. But yeah, does he have the same mileage as before? He does not. He's not the home run hitter that I'm used to playing against.
Isn't that the biggest thing, though, in your mind, Will? Because it's like, if you are going to acquire a running back like Zeke, and Shady, I can't wait for you to speak to this as well. But if you're going to acquire a running back like Zeke, that comes with something. Like, your name precedes you. Shady McCoy precedes you. Like, when Shady shows up into a building, that's Shady. I've seen his highlight.
He's not even LeSean. He's not LeSean.
He's not even Shady.
He's not LeSean. He's Shady.
But if you – he's not Ezekiel. He's Zeke. Right. He's a one-namer in the NFL.
Right.
He is a one-namer.
Right.
Like, I don't know, Will, that, you know, averaging 3.8 yards a carry is worth the potential – is worth that one-namer. Like, speak to that, though. Speak to is Zeke worth it for a team?
He's not going to come in and – I don't think be the star back. I think he'll play a similar role to who he is now, where he might be next to another young back that he can
run. Do you see him starting on any team?
Good question.
I can still see him being a starter, but he's not gonna. I don't think he'll add the same impact as he did when he was a feature back.
Weighing on that slick.
For me, it's a matter of, is he more focused on that he's a first team name, or that he has a second team game?
You're saying, where's his mind at?
Where's his mind at? Right. Is he willing to embrace that secondary role now, right? Because that's going to be the key. And I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but we all respect Zeke's football IQ. Like, his ability to play the game and to do the little things necessary to be effective beyond just being a physical freak, which is what he was initially.
Right. Yep.
So if he's willing to do that and utilize that, not just for himself, mm-hmm. but for your running back's room, mm-hmm. depending on who you have there, then I can see that. But the whole question is going to be, does he come in saying, I'm Zeke? Or does he come in saying, I'm Ezekiel Elliott. I know where I am in my career right now, and I still want
to
play.
The best part about this show is more often than not, we have the credible people to speak to every question that you might have or somebody on the desk has. Shady, you went to the Kansas City Chiefs and won your first of two Super Bowls after being a league-leading rusher, yeah. after leading the league in touchdowns during the course of your career. What is it like having to go from being the guy to being a guy?
Mm,
because that's what Zeke would have
to do. Yeah, I mean, as he was talking, I don't think like, man, that's I've been there. That's tough to do. What helped you out is, A, the team,
right,
depending on where you go, and then, B, the players on that team, right, players and coaches. So I was blessed to go to Kansas City. Now, going there, I had a big name, but there's a lot of other big names on that roster. So I had to check my ego at the door. Mm-hmm. And then you got a coach like Andy Reid who is – he knows how to manage all these superstars in one room. He knows how to manage that. And I didn't start at first, you know, but I had to work my way in there. Then once I got the starting job, moving on, then I didn't play. That's where it was tricky because all the players knew that eventually Shady going to play. Like, you serious?
Right.
And then once I started playing and things then was going well, whatever happened with the playing role, you know, I wasn't playing. But my thing is, it was tough to do. I cannot sit and lie. It was tough to do. But it's all about, like, the maturity level, where he's at in his career, mentally. And, you know, like, hey, what's he want in life? Does he want a championship?
Yep.
In Dallas, he never was going to get that. Right? So now I go to a good team like the Chiefs,
yep.
where now it's like, okay, even if I'm not playing as much, I'm locked in. I want to get a championship. But I can help my team.
Let me come to you on this one then, 2-5, because I stepped away from football at the age of 25. I realized I wasn't going to be a LeSean McCoy. I wasn't going to be a Will Blackman. I could scratch and claw, but let me step away. Surely I had more in the tank, but let me step away. You went to the Chiefs at 31.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs are notably over the hill after 30. Zeke is only 27.
Yeah. Right.
So given the fact that Zeke is only 27, yeah. let me talk to the 27-year-old running back superstar LeSean McCoy. Mm-hmm. Could the 27-year-old yeah, Shady have been able to do what Zeke has to do?
That's a great question. That's why you get paid the money.
But I will say, I think he's shown great maturity on how he handled the situation in Dallas, splitting time.
Of course.
Pollard.
But no, see, I push back. Well, I mean, you had to do that. When he gets in the game, so when it first started out, Pollard wasn't getting that many touches.
He wasn't, right.
But every time he touched the ball, Aaron.
Yes,
so it's
run.
Like, it's hard to tell a coach, well, why not play more? Because he like.
Right, you see it. Look at the film.
So it's easy to play that role at that point. Yeah. You don't know what's in his mind.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, at 28, I had 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns. So if you tell me to go back there, I don't know how I would think at that age. Frank Gore is one of my best friends, and he always talks about how running backs, when they get to that 30, they get close to it, they start shutting down. And he always tells me, yo, don't think of that.
Right.
Right? Mm. Let your body tell you what you can do or not. But when you see it on tape, you're not playing well at 28, 29. And we've seen other lot of running backs, like Gurley. I thought Gurley was phenomenal. I think the injuries were on him. And then when he got to 28, 29, it starts shutting down.
I got to stay here because this is fascinating. Bear with me, producers. I got to stay here. Oftentimes, there's a psychology principle called self-handicapping. And self-handicapping is when we create different excuses for ourselves. So when we underperform, we lean back on the excuse we created for ourselves.
I've been there.
Shady, I'm coming back to you on this one. Let me break it down layman's terms.
So you were a psych major, weren't you?
Yeah, master's.
Yo, me too, me too.
Master's. How you corrected me? My bad.
Let me put it in context, though. You don't study for a test. So that when you fail the test, you'd be like, oh, well, I didn't study. Shady, the reason I bring that up is, does Zeke actually realize that he's only a 58 yards per game, 3.8 yards per carry running back? Or in Zeke's mind, is it because of his PCL? Is it because of his MCL? Is it because the offensive line wasn't good? Because Tyron Smith wasn't out there? Because we had a 40-year-old Jason Peters, whereas LeSean McCoy had a 32-year-old Jason Peters? Mm. Is the running back, is the player, are they actually realizing, you know what, I don't have it like I used to, or are they in denial?
I think with players, competitive players, with football players, with boxers, with basketball players, you always think that you're better than what you are.
Always.
Right? Even when you lose a step, let me lose some weight. I'll be a little quicker. Like even when my attributes and my talent start slipping, I knew it, but I was like, I still got this. Right? And I think that he probably has a little bit of that. Like, he still can get it done. But there's another side to this thing, man, and it's called the truth. Mm-hmm. It's called that conscious, where when I watch tape of myself, Zeke is probably saying the same thing. Damn, I don't look the old 2016, 2015 Zeke. at I am now at 22. At,
27. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was saying a year. But anyway.
Yeah.
So he knows that going in there. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Right.
You all and I.
I'm sorry. The money part. You can't go from making $11 million or at this year $11 million. He gonna get about two and a half.
You and I had this conversation too about what you felt. Because the thing that I always impressed me with you is you never took a hit.
That's like, right. That's why I'm moving.
You were able.
I'm dancing, I'm moving around. I'm healthy.
Right? And Zeke was like that early on. But now he's getting hit and getting hit and squared. And you said, like, bro, there were guys where you didn't, like, oh, I don't even have to worry about him. He's not getting to me. And suddenly you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm taking you more. Right.
Yeah. He ran me down.
Right. And so that's where the reality comes in, too. Like, that's the truth coming at you. 245, nailing you square.
Coach, I can't cover these boys no more.
I watched a young man who had a great career as a youngster. Mm-hmm. As he got older, he said, I'm done with it. Not only did he quit during the game. I witnessed that.
You were there.
Vontae Davis.
Yep. I wasn't going to say his name, Vontae Davis.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, look, we're all waiting to see what team could be in the mix for Lamar Jackson. Teams could have started talking to him as of Check's clock an hour and 22 minutes ago. I don't know about you. I haven't seen the breaking news saying that anybody's interested verbally in Lamar Jackson. Remember, the Ravens gave him the non-exclusive tag, meaning other teams have the ability to offer Lamar Jackson whatever contract they wanted. And the Ravens could match that. It's a little bit disrespectful because what it truly means is, hey, Lamar, you can go do what you want. If other teams are interested in you, go ahead and flirt with them. We're going to be here at home waiting on you to come back to the door. The question for me now, though, is Lamar in trouble? Because he bet on himself, didn't necessarily pay off only because he got hurt. So you could say it didn't pay off. Mm-hmm. Then he got non-exclusively tagged, Will Blackman, and I haven't heard of teams banging down at his doors. Is Lamar in trouble?
I don't think he's in trouble at all. Actually, my answer right here says, hell no, he's not in trouble. and simply because he's just that good. He's a really good quarterback. Again, he's 26, and he's super talented. I mentioned earlier this week, once-in-a-decade type of player. So somebody's going to pay him, whether it's Baltimore. You know, I had this weird hunch that maybe Houston might do something crazy and jump in the mix. But somebody's going to pay him. So I think for him, he's not in trouble. I just think maybe during this whole negotiation process, it is probably stressful, and maybe he's in trouble in that regards, but he's going to get paid.
Will, you have a wine brand, correct?
The Wine MVP. MVP. Go get it. Sign the club now.
I was going to advertise it for you, but go ahead.
TheWineMVP.com. I got you.
Anyway, the reason I ask is because I assume you have different levels and variants of wine, some super high, classy bottles of wine, and some more affordable.
You know your friends well.
Great. Why am I bringing up wine on a sports show? Because it's not always about the product. It's about the buyer. I would assume you sometimes have elite, super expensive, maybe rare bottles of wine. And sure, it should have all the buyers in the world. But it might price certain buyers out. So when you bring up Lamar Jackson and you tell me that, well, he's just so elite that surely he will draw interest, I'm just wondering, just because you are elite, exquisite, rare, doesn't necessarily mean you'll draw interest if there are not suitable buyers.
You're good. No, this is a fair point, because when I set our club at the price point, yes, it's super cool. It looks attractive. But they're like, I don't know if I want to pay that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful wine. We love those wines. We've had those wines at restaurants. But I don't know if I want to subscribe just yet because I don't think I am a customer for this brand.
And that to right. me, Slick, is the issue with Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Shady, we'll come to you here in a moment. Slick, speak up on Lamar, because you've had several different interesting thoughts.
Several.
Yeah. Is he in trouble? What are we defining trouble? Is he not going to get paid? Yes, he's going to. The Ravens offered him a contract last summer, so the Ravens are going to offer him something. Is he going to get what he wanted?
That's the part of the question.
Right. That's where he's in trouble. Because what I know about how agents operate is that we're all waiting to find out who's interested in Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson should already know who's interested in him. He should have already determined, if the Ravens aren't going to give me what I want, I need the leverage of another team that will, or that will at least potentially draw me away from the Ravens so that they have to pay
like
me
a bit, yeah.
what I want. Mm. I don't get the sense that he knows that. I get the sense that Lamar Jackson is waiting the same way we are, because if he did, I would have hoped that that team would have already jumped out there. Now that they can talk and officially say we're interested, that we would have heard that, and we haven't. And so that's where the game is played with agents, in that they're talking to teams to see what their plans are years ahead of time.
Yeah.
To find out where's our leverage, where's our pocket, where's the team that's going to go, oh, you know what, we got to get Lamar Jackson. And if we could get Lamar Jackson, this is how we're going to build the rest of our team. I don't get that right now. And we're looking at plenty of teams that need quarterbacks, but none of them have appeared to have planned to go after Lamar Jackson. So the idea that at this point, at the 11th hour, suddenly somebody's going to turn around and put the number out there that's better than what the Ravens are willing to give him, I just don't see how it happens. So if it's a matter of him getting more than what the Ravens offered, I don't see how he gets there at this point based on what we know.
Yeah, I won't say he's in trouble, but I am kind of just, I'm getting a little worried, man. It's we thought Wednesday would be the day where teams would come out there and reach out for Lamar Jackson, reach out for MVP, and it hasn't happened. And as I sit back here, I'm thinking like, okay, well, maybe he won't get the $200 million guaranteed like he wants. But there's a medium, because he won't get everything he wants and the team won't get everything they want. That's why they meet in the middle.
Mm.
And a team like, not even just the Ravens, because I think the Ravens has the best shot. But I look at a team like the Falcons, and it's puzzling to me, because why wouldn't you go out here and get him?
Mm-hmm.
That division won't be that bad ever again. Think about that for a second, though. NFC South, there's a bad, 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 bad division.
It's wide open.
Right? It's wide open. Yeah. You get Lamar Jackson instantly. You're the head of that division. That's more sales, more money. Owners like money, more wins, playoff appearances, right? Then you add players, add players. I just think, like, there's a way where you can scale the money in his favor. Maybe he might not get a 4 or 5 year deal. Maybe he gets 3 years. Maybe he gets, I don't know, 160, some of that guaranteed, and then you put escalators in there like, hey, you have been hurt. I think one part that you got to think about, this is a business, right? And if we're negotiating a contract, okay, look, Lamar, you are MVP, you are great, but you've been injured, right, the last 2 years, and it shows that. Maybe we put in there, we add more money if you give us 15 games, 14 games a year. Like, that's what negotiations are. It's trying to get a contract for both parties. They obviously, they could take him, the Falcons, or the Ravens, mm-hmm. either teams. But I look at this like the value of having Lamar Jackson to the Falcons. Like real quick, the whole Michael Vick experience, like, y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But not like that Michael Vick era.
Vick, Warwick, Dunn.
Come on.
Yeah.
Imagine how the city was. Imagine how the owners of the money were making. You know, so my thing is, like, even when he had the dog stuff going on, Arthur Blank still was saying, hey, I still wanted to have Mike on there on the team. Like, yeah. Small things like that. So I say if Lamar Jackson get the deal done either with the Falcons or the Ravens, it's a good move.
But this is the downside to him betting on himself this year. Because all those particulars in terms of, hey, let's find some way in the middle. This is $133 million, 3 years. I want more than that. Let's figure out a way that I can make more money if I guarantee you a certain number of games, or I get it for a certain number mm-hmm. of games. That conversation should have happened a year ago. Okay. If you're really trying to make it happen with the Ravens. But you said, no, you know what? I don't like your $133 million. I'm going to show you I am worth max dollar. And that's what he played for. That's what he was going for. And you said it was only injury that held him back. If he had been great other than the injury, I'd agree with you. But he wasn't great every game. He wasn't MVP Lamar Jackson every game. And so he put himself behind the eight ball. Because as it stands now, he doesn't have that team out there that is dying to get Lamar Jackson. As much as we might say there's a bunch of teams that should be thinking that way, if they were thinking that way, they would have planned to do that right now. We know who they are, and we don't. And that's where, look, again, would love, and I've seen it with players, where they represent themselves. And I'm not saying you have to have an agent, but you have to have advisors that are giving you the full picture and as much information as possible, because this is a business and this is a strategy. And the Ravens aren't going to give you one more dollar than they have to give you to build the rest of their team.
I'll close it like this. I don't think Lamar Jackson himself is in trouble. He said himself he has a three-year, $133 million contract offer out there from the Ravens. That's what they offered. Lamar's leverage is in trouble. And leverage is dictated based upon demand from other teams. And it does not at least appear that there is demand from other teams. There might be interest, but there is a crucial chasm between that word interest and demand. So unless Lamar can garner some demand from other teams, then the leverage is in trouble, and leverage will dictate the worth that he wants to get. So Lamar, you got to get that leverage so you can get that bigger bag, because that big bag is already waiting at your door.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are off to an incredibly wild offseason in the NFL. The NFL offseason is truly one of the best soap operas you can find, and things have been spicy. But get this, has your team won the offseason? I'm going to give you the five teams that have had the best offseasons in descending order. First up, how about the Denver Broncos? Now, you might be thinking, Acho, where's their splash move? They stirred up their offensive line, right tackle Mike McGlinchey, not only that, guard Ben Powers. But remember, they got the coach they wanted in Sean Payton. That's why they're in my five. At four, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. They did something you rarely ever see them do. Made a splash offseason signing. This dude, Stephon Gilmore, an absolute lockdown player, defensive player of the year just a few years ago. Now think about this. You got Trayvon Diggs, you have Gilmore on opposite sides. Who do they have to go up against? A team like the Philadelphia Eagles, seeing them twice a year, who have A.J. Smith and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Cowboys, my four seed, because they locked up exactly what they needed to this offseason. Third best offseason, Miami Dolphins, Xavier Howard. They acquired Jalen Ramsey. But it's not just acquiring Jalen Ramsey that I love. You got Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio, one of the modern minds of that 3-4 defense. You had Vic Fangio plus Xavier Howard plus David Long Jr. at linebacker. That's a huge addition to that defense, huge addition to that team. The second best offseason, it's got to be the Giants. You might be thinking, where are the big outside names? Y'all, don't get it twisted. Retaining Saquon Barkley, retaining Daniel Jones. You kept your quarterback, you kept your running back, and then you added Darren Waller to the mix, a tight end that's one of the best receiving tight ends in all of football. Shady knows that offensive-minded head coach far too well. Brian Daboll, who got the Giants to the playoffs with limited weapons, he's going to take them even further this year. And the best offseason? Got to be the Chicago Bears, because everybody is questioning Justin Fields. But Justin Fields now has a receiver that he needs and more. Plus, now Claypool can move from the number one receiver to the number two. Mooney can move from the number two to the number three. And then you got to shore up things defensively. You got your linebackers in place. You got Edmonds. You got TJ Edwards. The Chicago Bears, to me, have had the best offseason. But you see the list of my teams that have had the five best offseasons. You got the Broncos. You got the Cowboys. You got the Dolphins. You got the Giants. You got the Bears. We got to get to the desk, because I got to find out what everybody else thinks. Will, you're nodding your head, so let me talk to you first. Who do you think has had the best offseason of all the teams in the league?
I love that you put the Broncos. And for me, that's my answer.
Wow.
Because it is so hard, obviously, to find a quarterback, but it's also really hard to find a head coach. And we talked earlier this week about the Broncos just really – they had absolutely zero identity. Mm. And when there is no culture in the building, it is really hard to perform, because then you're just playing for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of guys out there just trying to make money, trying to play ball, and you're not really able to win games. So I love the hire of Sean Payton, and not just Sean Payton, but who he brought with him. Like he has Vance Joseph he brought with him. They went and got Greg Minuski, who was with Vance in San Francisco, and he was with me, the coordinator in Washington. And
what's Minuski's role for those at home?
He's Greg Minuski's a linebacker coach.
Gotcha.
For the Broncos. And then I look at them shoring up just each level. Like, I look who they hired special teams wise. They get Mike Westhoff, the New York Jets special teams coach, who But I'm letting you guys know right now, if you're going against them at kickoff, someone's getting trap blocked, okay? So y'all watch out. They get Ben Kotwicka, who was the head special teams coach when I was in Washington, and they just bring on newly retired Chris Banjo, who was a star special teams player for them. So they just literally got solid, outstanding, all-star cast all above on every single level to really get these guys in the best position to succeed. So I really love what the Broncos did this offseason.
Love that. 2-5, who's had the best offseason in your eyes?
It's never personal. I just got to be honest. I'm going with the Cowboys. I hate it for my team, but I'm being honest. Stephon Gilmore, I talked to him today, actually, and we were talking about this trade, and I'm happy for him, and he's a hell of a player. Like, when you watch the Cowboys, they have a tremendous defensive pressure. Getting to that quarterback, Michael Parsons, we got Lawrence on the other side. So now you add in, how can we cover these dudes, right? Because the balls will come out quick.
Yep.
And I think in divisions, you always try to match it up. You look at the Super Bowl, not champions, contending Eagles. I want to slip that in there. Anyway, the Super Bowl contenders, Philadelphia Eagles. We have two beasts, A.J. Brown and then Devontae Smith. So how can we match up to them guys, right? Because they have office linemen where they block well, so it kind of neutralizes the pass rush. But you got guys that can cover. You bring Gilmore there. Gilmore can line up with A.J. Brown.
Yep.
That'll be a matchup, right? He can match up with Smith. So I like that move. And also, I just think that the Cowboys, if they can just find a quarterback to not lead the league in picks, they might have a Super Bowl chance.
Had to get that in there. Shout out, Dave. Slick Rick Buecher, who has had the best offseason in your mind?
Shady, I feel like I'm just watching somebody grow as a person before my very eyes.
Shady?
You're talking about the Cowboys the way you...
This is my job.
It warms my heart. Way to bring that positivity. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that beat the Philadelphia.
The Chiefs?
Yes, without question. Without question.
Let's hear it.
And your Philadelphia Eagles are an example of what happens when teams go to the Super Bowl. What happens? Everybody starts picking off your players.
Yeah.
Like your ability to retain the talent. So sometimes with free agency, it's about what you get, and sometimes it's about what you don't lose.
Okay.
And the Chiefs, when I look at, they lost 3 or 4 players. Juju Smith-Schuster, are we worried about him signing with the Patriots?
No, not at all.
We're not worried about that.
Yeah.
Orlando Brown Jr., they can't get a deal done, but they get Juwan Taylor. Like, we'll see. And some people feel like that's actually a better fit. He's more suited.
I'm about to say that. He's pretty good.
Right?
You're protecting the money, yeah.
Right? So the fact that you just won a Super Bowl. I mean, generally, every team. Look at the Bengals going to AFC Championship. They lost both their safeties. There's always a price to be paid for success. And the Kansas City Chiefs don't appear to be paying that price.
Let me ask you. They reset and reload. But here's what's fascinating, though. If the Chiefs are better than every other football team, then it's not just about the Chiefs being better than every other football team. They have to make sure they keep that gap away from other football teams.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the Chiefs' moves have helped them become better? I don't think the moves have kept them from getting worse.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the Chiefs' moves this year have made them better.
I agree with that.
Teams are still
sure.
Cowboys, I think, got better.
They got better.
Chicago Bears, they got better, but they're still so far behind. Miami Dolphins, though.
They got better.
They got better. Miami Dolphins were barely worse than the Chiefs in my life. Do you think the Chiefs have still done enough to keep that sizable gap?
We'll find out. I'm not going to say definitively yes, but if you just won a Super Bowl and you can look at your team and go, hey, we can compete for another one, you're winning, right? And there's certainly everybody else is going to step up and they're going to challenge you. But the fact that you're still in the mix, I mean, your Eagles are not.
Well, it's not looking
right. I like what you said, because last year when they lost Tyreek Hill, everyone threw him out.
They said,
man, this ain't happening. They're not making it. And they still end up winning the Super Bowl. So now this year, knowing what they did without their best receiver, they just reset and reload.